Good morning, everybody. Welcome to WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. This is Jane Cormier, your host today for Artful Living. And those of you that have been with us know that we are doing some young singer highlights these days. We're doing a whole program full of these highlights, specifically for the young singers that are coming for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, which is happening on April 28th at 3 o'clock at the Capital Center Bank of New Hampshire stage. And today we have a wonderful young singer who we've had here many times on WKXL, Artful Living, Jessica Bell. Hello, Jessica.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. I mean, we get to see your progress as you go through your journey as a young singer. And for audience members that are maybe haven't heard from you before or just checking in, Jessica Bell is in her fourth year at what college?
I'm at Gordon College.
Gordon College. And you are a vocal performance and a music ed major.
Double major, yes.
Double major, which is always twice the fun, right?
Yes.
So you're originally from Manchester?
Yes.
Right? And why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're up to these days?
Yeah, so I am in my fourth year at Gordon College. This semester, I am student teaching and completing my music ed degree by student teaching. And then, because I'm a double major, it's a lot of fun. I could have done it in 4 years, but I decided it made more sense to next semester. I'm going to be completing my vocal performance major part-time at Gordon, and it works out for my plan because I can use my resources at Gordon to do all of my pre-screening videos to get into a good grad school, hopefully.
Right. So, and you have a double major now, so do you know what you're going to concentrate on as a grad student?
Yes, I am going to grad school for vocal performance.
For vocal performance. Awesome, possum. So have you been doing a lot of singing lately, performing at Gordon?
Yes, not as much this semester because of student teaching. I really wanted to focus on student teaching, but I did do a senior recital last fall. Mm-hmm. I was involved in Gordon's chamber program where we do opera scenes.
What scenes did you do?
Oh, I did a scene from The Bartered Bride by Smetana.
Beautiful.
But we did it in German.
Right.
So much fun. I did Aguarda Sorella from Cose Fan Tutte.
Beautiful.
So fun. And then, was that it? I did the finale from Thais by Massenet.
Oh my.
It was so fun.
Wow.
My friend played the violin for it, and it was so fun to do that scene.
I bet.
So.
Wow, you really had a wonderful, you know, variety there.
Yeah.
That you were able to have.
Definitely.
Wow, very cool. All right. And so you're looking at specific schools right now? Like what is your dream school?
Oh boy. I'm casting a wide net right now.
I like that. That's smart.
Well, that's what you have to do. Right now, I think in the opera world and the graduate school world, there's definitely a big debate on what is more beneficial, mm-hmm. to go to maybe a university school or a school where maybe a school where you might get a full ride or, you know, go for really cheap and mm-hmm. get a lot of opportunities. And then there's also the discussion on, is it better to pay more money and go to a big name school?
Yeah. So which one are you leaning toward?
Honestly, I'm just weighing the pros and cons right now.
Yeah.
Some big name schools I am looking at would be, I'm looking at the New York area. So Juilliard, the Manna School of Music are dream schools.
Yeah.
As well as Jacobs School of Music.
What about Curtis?
Yes. I don't know. Maybe.
Well.
Those are just dreams, though. I'm probably going to limit my dream schools, because application fees are also expensive.
Yes.
But I do have dream schools. I also have some connections from last summer. I went to a program called FIO Italia.
Yes.
In Italy.
Wonderful.
And I met a lot of faculty there from various schools in the U.S. That offer grad programs. So I'm looking at some universities as well. I've been recruited. Well, I've been talked to about, I'm thinking about University of Florida,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Schwab School of Music at Columbus State University.
Oh my, okay, cool.
So, yeah, so those are two of ones that I'm looking at. But my list right now for grad school, it must be like 50 schools on there.
No, really?
And eventually I will narrow it down. It really comes down to the teacher. That's really what's most important, is finding a teacher that will work for me
mm-hmm.
and that will help me get to the next level.
Right.
And I don't want to, the teacher is most important.
Yeah.
So.
For the vocal performance major, that's very smart.
Yes.
Right? And so right now you're doing some student teaching, I understand.
Yeah. So I'm not going to talk too much in detail about where I'm student teaching. However, it's been a very good experience. I have the most amazing cooperating teachers, and all of them have really poured into me, and I feel like I've grown in my assertiveness.
Oh, good.
Commanding a classroom.
Yeah.
And I've become more confident,
mm-hmm.
and which are skills that can also translate to the operatic world,
totally.
Especially as a soprano.
Yes. And you know what? It's funny. People probably don't think about this too much, but I've always maintained performance majors usually make excellent teachers, because if you're really concerned about students learning, the performance aspect of being in that position can really, really help students want to learn.
Definitely.
You know, they see you as someone that's up there and you're running the show and you're doing your performance, quote.
Yeah.
Right? But what you really do is leading the kids to learn.
Teaching is performing.
Yeah.
You perform so much when you teach.
Yeah. Some do.
Some do,
some
yes.
Do. Yeah, it's not everybody, but that's why I say I think that performers make excellent teachers. So I think all of that's been very positive, sounds like, for you.
Yeah, it's been a very good experience.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I understand that you've been doing a couple of competitions. Didn't you win a competition last time we spoke?
Yes, I did. I won the Gordon College Concerto competition.
Yes, I think I heard some of that. You know, the singing that you did with that. I remember, I think, checking in a while ago, and it was beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you must have been so excited.
It was a very fun experience. I got to perform the arias from Carlisle Floyd's Susanna with the Gordon Symphony Orchestra.
Wow.
And those arias they have a very special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm. And those arias are not easy to sing.
They're not. No, they're not. And
lots of stamina.
Yes. I really love Ain't It a Pretty Night.
Yeah, beautiful.
I haven't sung that one in a very long time, and I recently pulled it out.
Yeah.
Decided to sing it again, and my voice has grown so much even since that performance. It's really cool, and it's like, oh, wow, this is a lot easier than I remembered it.
Yes, good for you.
It's so fun to witness and see, like, even like singing a piece, putting it away,
yeah.
and then bringing it back a year later and singing it again. It's so fun to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And especially when you can hear and feel as a singer the improvement within that piece.
Yes.
You know, that's tangible for a performer.
Yes.
And you know what, folks, a lot of people, if you're not a performer, there's no reason why you would understand the concept, but there's so much intangible with performance, right? It's intangible on how you're going to communicate with that audience. It's an intangible with how much the singers on stage will be able to interact with what you're doing. Intangible stuff, right? But whenever a singer has the ability, and I say singer because that's what we are, has the ability to find a tangible, they really, really stand out. And like you said, pulling that aria back and being able to try it and seeing how much easier it was to sing is a tangible. You know?
Yes.
And that makes you want to sing more.
Right. It's definitely so motivating.
Yes. Motivating. Excellent. So that's great. So you have your grad schools coming up. Are you doing anything this summer specifically?
Yes. So I am also competing in the second round of the classical singer competition in Washington, D.C.
Very good.
Which is very exciting. And I am also going to be covering Amore in Orfeo di Eurydice this summer with Chicago Summer Opera.
Wonderful. And so how long is that for?
That is a 4-week program.
4 weeks. Okay, good for you.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
I am. It's another program. It's another opportunity to make connections. Mm-hmm. And learn a new role. I love learning new roles.
Right. So. Well, that's important. If you want to be singing, that's really important, especially when you're young. All righty. So we hear the music. We're going to take a little break here for our advertisers to get their time on our station. And WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Jane Cormier, your host here for Art for Living. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio. We will be right back. Art for Living here. Jane Cormier, your host on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. That's WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and of course, our newest signal, 101.9 FM in Manchester. And if you are just joining us, we have a wonderful gal, Jessica Bell, a soprano, who is going to be one of the finalists for the New Hampshire Opera Idol Competition 2024, happening next week right here in Concord at the Capital Center Bank of New Hampshire stage. If you're interested, you can go to the Capital Center for the Arts website, and you could purchase your tickets right there online. And we want to let our listeners know, if this is something that you've had a passing interest in, but maybe a little bit nervous about going to hear opera, this is a perfect opportunity for you to hear in a laid-back, you know, situation. You can have a cocktail while you listen, and you can either just enjoy the short arias, because the arias are, you know, 4 to 5 minutes apiece. Easy. Each singer will explain their aria. And if you are so inclined, you can actually help us judge, because everybody will be getting a ballot. And we'll tell you what you're listening for when we start the competition. And you'll have your ballot and how you voted for each singer. And then we will award the cash prizes and performance contracts for I Pagliacci, which will be happening the second or third week, I guess, second week of July, right here in Pittsfield at the Pittsfield Players Scenic Theater. So we have a lot going on, but we're here to talk about Jessica Bell. So Jessica, you'll be doing the competition.
Yes.
And are you looking forward? Because you're like the hometown girl.
I am the hometown girl. Yeah, it's exciting. I actually wasn't sure if I wanted to do it at first. I was thinking about it and thinking about it.
What were you hesitant about?
Because I have a lot going on right now and a lot of things. And I was like, okay, is this going to be something that's going to tip the plate over?
Okay.
They talk about having so much on your plate. Like, I don't want to tip it over. But I, you know, was thinking about it. I'm like, performing is so important to have every single experience you get. Yeah. And it's really important to me to have that experience, because I learn something every single time I perform.
Sure.
So I figured, you know, I'm going to do it.
Go for it. You know, the truth is in the emerging singer bracket, we have classical singer, and you have a few other organizations that are doing competitions. But by and large, the competitions, the bulk of them that we're seeing right now are for not the emerging singer. Mm. They're for the pretty established singer. You know, the big prizes, $10,000, yeah. $20,000. And let's face it, you know, if you're a young singer coming out of conservatory, to have those places to cut your teeth in front of audience is really important. And in the day, you know, when I was singing back a generation, you were expected, if you submitted your resume to any agency, they expected to see a couple of competitions on there, because they just felt it was a well-rounded resume. Right. But, you know, it's harder now for these emerging singers to get the opportunities. And I always say that the level of stress, and I don't modify whether stress is good or bad. Stress is what it is. And let's face it, if we didn't have some stress, we'd never get out of bed in the morning. Right. So some stress is necessary. Certainly a singer must learn to work with their, you know, stress things that happen to the body when you sing,
definitely,
when you perform, because that will inhibit the performance if you don't know how to work with it. And I think that many singers would benefit from perhaps putting themselves out there a little bit more, because like you said, you always learn when you do it.
Definitely.
And so I'm glad that you decided to. We actually, 23 years of doing this, 25, I think we're going on now, if I'm counting right anyway. We always tried to make the competition very simple for the busy singer, because we know singers have church jobs, you have gigs, you have school, you're teaching, whatever you might be doing, busy people. And so this was basically submit a couple of arias, and the two judges for our preliminary rounds pick our 11 finalists, and now you come in one afternoon and sing for the finals, right? So I think it is a modicum of effort, but I think very well, you know, well-deserved, and you won't be sorry you did it, I think.
Yeah, I definitely had that, like, will I regret it if I don't do it? Mm. And I actually have been wanting to do this competition, and I know you took a few years break because of the pandemic and just a lot of changes, and so I remember watching the competition when it was on
online
during COVID, when it was online, yes, from my college dorm room, and being like, I want to do that someday. And, you know, I waited a while. I haven't done many competitions. This
sure.
is the first year I'm
You're
really,
a baby.
Of course, yeah. So this is the first year I'm really putting myself out there in this new way, kind of outside of my bubble. So it is scary, but I think it will be very good for me.
Yes, absolutely. And your aria was beautiful, the arias that you sent in.
Thank you.
We very much enjoyed them. And, you know, you won your place in the final. So good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, good luck when you have your run. And for anyone that's interested, again, come and get a ticket. I think that there's not many tickets left for the hall that we're in. But, you know, certainly Capital Center for the Arts, go right on their site. You can purchase a ticket for Opera Idol, New Hampshire Opera Idol. And we'd love to see you there. So going forward, long-range plans. Right? We're not talking about grad school now. Do you ever think about the big picture beyond grad school? Where would you like to find yourself?
Yeah, ideally, it's really hard because it's so hard to know. Ideally, I would love to have a career as a professional singer. I would love to work in churches. I would also love to work as in smaller houses. If I were ever to make it to a big house, that would be really great.
Okay.
But I also would be content with doing it on the side of also teaching. I also love to teach, and I would love to have my own voice studio someday.
Oh, well, totally doable, right? I mean, totally within your capacity and your training to be able to do that. So, yeah, I definitely see you could do that with no real effort.
Yes.
But you know what? Don't let the scope of what the challenge might be affect what you do. Playing it safe is, you know, obviously we're not going to be doing anything stupid, right? But there's no reason to shoot for the gold, especially when you've put your work in and you're young. You know, why shouldn't you be at a big house?
Yeah. You know? I'm going for it.
Oh, you should.
No matter what challenges are put in my way, I'm going to go for it.
Absolutely. And I always tell my singers, you're never, ever, ever going to be sorry you did it. Everybody goes, oh, you know, but there's so many good singers, or, oh, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. And I always tell everybody, because, you know, I'm looking back, your success is not necessarily determined by that one big thing that you think starting out would have to happen.
Yeah.
The only time you fail, looking back on your life, is when you realize that you did not extend to see.
Yes.
That's what we regret. You never regret the try. I've never known anybody in my life, and I've known so many people through teaching, through performing, through big family, large, you know, large connection of community. I've never had one human being be sorry that they went to grab the ring. The regrets are always, I wonder if I should have. You can't go back and fix that later, mostly. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
So absolutely, go big.
Thank you.
What they say, go big or go home. Yeah. Don't go home, but go big. So there you go. All right, so when do you head out to Chicago?
I head out I think the move-in day is June 20th.
Ooh.
So I actually just booked my flight. So it's, and then I'll be there for a little less than 4 weeks. I mm-hmm. come back, I think, July 15th.
Wow. So. Very good.
Yeah.
You must be so excited.
I am. I am. And it's really exciting to get to learn a new role mm-hmm. And meet new people and perform. I will get a cover run, which mm-hmm. is good.
Really important.
Right. I wouldn't have done it if there wasn't a cover run.
Right. What does that mean for our listeners?
So a cover run is if you are covering a role, you are expected to learn the role just like anyone else mm-hmm. That is playing the role. It's kind of like an understudy. So what you do is you learn the role. You go into every single rehearsal. You're supposed to know all of the marking and all of the blocking, the staging, everything.
Right.
You have to have it completely memorized. And it's actually a lot of work because you're sitting there and you have to just know it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then a cover run is where they have all of the covers perform it.
Right.
Just like you would in the real thing. And it's almost a way to solidify, okay, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the actual performance in the event, if one of the leads is sick
right.
or something is wrong, you can fill in for them.
Absolutely. So it's really important for a young singer to understand going in what the aspect of that run would be, and the fact that you get a guaranteed performance
yes.
is not necessarily what everyone, you know, experiences. So that's great for you.
Thank you.
Well, Jessica, it's been great talking to you. We're going to take a break here. And thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And on the other half, we're going to speak with Juliet Morris, who is an author singer from New Hampshire Opera Idol. We want to thank you for coming in, and all the best to you.
Thank you very much,
Jessica,
for having
Bell.
Me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. All right, we're going to take a little break. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio.com. Stay right where you are, because we are coming right back. Welcome back. You are with Art for Living. Jane Cormier, your host today, WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio.com. And we are thrilled to have another finalist from the New Hampshire Opera Idol Competition 2024. And this young lady's name is Juliet Morris, soprano. Hello, Juliet.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you. We have been sort of having opera singer show spotlights here on our show for the past week or so, and we'll continue that this week. We have, of course, the Opera Idol competition coming up April 28th, and you will be one of the contestants on that competition. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Juliet.
Sure. So I am a soprano. I'm based in Brooklyn, New York. I've essentially been singing since the time I could talk. And I've been a working professional opera singer. I also do musical theater. So I do a lot of crossover, both internationally and nationally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I see in your resume, you've done an awful lot with City Lyric Opera. And is that mm-hmm. in New York?
It is. They are a local company. They are run by other opera singers. They are such a wonderful organization uh-huh. that really supports up-and-coming artists from a unique perspective. They put on a lot of new works. And then their most recent big production was La Traviata by Verdi. Uh-huh. And then this year, they're doing a bunch of like mini concert series.
Wow. I mean, that's really great. We have singers getting together to try to promote performance. That's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And so what do you have directly upcoming this year? Anything in the...
So, let's see. So I have the lovely New Hampshire Opera Idol competition.
Yes, you do.
And then the following week, I will be competing in the Career Bridges Grant competition.
Wonderful.
And then I have some other exciting things in the works that I'm not really able to share quite just yet.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we know how that is. Yes. So Butler Opera Center. So
yes.
I had a really great friend at Butler, baritone. And mm-hmm. I don't know if he's still teaching there. And his name is crazy. His name has gone out of my head now. I can't remember his name. Anyway, Butler is connected. That's the school, correct? Butler Opera?
So Butler Opera Center is actually connected to the University of Texas at Austin. So Butler Opera Center was created, I think, about maybe 20 years ago mm-hmm. by this lovely couple who's donated a lot of money to the music school. They donate a lot of money to Austin Opera. And then I believe they also just donated a bunch of money to Houston Grand Opera as well.
Wow.
So they're very prolific in creating diverse musical education throughout Texas.
Something. That's great. All right. Listen, yeah. Could you please give our audience, we're going to listen to one of your opera arias, O Luce di Quest'Anima. And do you think mm-hmm. that you could give a very brief, what's happening in this aria before we hear it?
Oh, absolutely. So my character, Linda, is off to meet her love, and she shows up to this beautiful fountain area where they had agreed to meet, but he's not there, and she gets just a little bit flustered, a little bit sad, but she sees that her love has left her a bouquet of flowers on the side of the fountain, and so the entire aria is about her singing how he is the light of her life. And just loves him very much. Very fun.
It is. Well, Donizetti is always a fun composer to sing. All righty. So we're going to listen to Juliet Morris, lyric, coloratura soprano, and she's going to sing the Donizetti aria, O Luci di Quest'Anima.
Thank you.
Bravo. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
It must be a lot of fun to sing that.
Yes, absolutely.
If you can. So tell me a little bit about yourself. We got a little break coming up in a minute or so. But teachers, who do you work with? Who do you work with, Juliet?
So I currently study with the fabulous and very supportive Miss Diana Sobiero here in New York City. I've been working with her for a couple of years now. She has been an incredible mentor and teacher to me.
Wonderful.
A fierce technician and a force in the industry.
Yes. Very, very good. Awesome. And lyric coloratura roles seem to be what you're going to be doing, right? Going forward?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good for you. Good for you. All righty. I hear our music here. We're going to take a little break. Juliet Morris, stay right where you are. And our listeners, stay right where you are, because we're going to come back and talk to Juliet a little bit about her background and her future plans. WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Artful Living here. Jane Cormier, your host. Stay with us, because we're coming right back. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Artful Living here. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. We thank you for joining us today, and we continue to speak with the singers who are the finalists for the April 28th New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, happening right here at the Capitol Center in the Bank of New Hampshire Canton Room. And anybody that would like a ticket, we invite you, go to the website at Capitol Center and you will be able to grab a ticket for this Sunday afternoon concert. And Juliet Morris is a lyric coloratura soprano, and we just played one of her arias that she had submitted for the competition. Just beautiful. Juliet, did you always want to study and sing opera?
So it's a tricky question for me, because I, from the time I started voice lessons at 9 years old, I was doing both classical music and musical theater. And my love for both of them has remained pretty equal throughout the years. However, I have trained very, very hard to be where I am today as a lyric coloratura, but there's no reason why I can't sing both opera musical theater. But I do opera so very well, as you heard in that last recording. So
it's nice that you could say it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what do you have coming up? We know New Hampshire Opera Idol, of course, finals. What else is coming up for you?
So the week after I compete in the New Hampshire Opera Idol, I will be competing in the Career Bridges competition. It's a grant competition in New York. And then I have some other things in the works that I'm contractually not able to speak of at mm-hmm. this time, but they will be some pretty exciting stuff.
Wow, very good.
Very happy about it. Yeah.
Do you see a trip to Europe coming up in the future?
Possibly. We'll see. Anything's possible in this realm of work. I try to go with the flow, because as opera singers, we're constantly hustling
yes.
and applying to everything we can and networking as much as we can. So I don't rule anything out. So right. if I end up in Europe in 3 months, I end up in Europe 3 months. If I end up in California, I end up in California. I'm pretty open and very flexible.
Absolutely. Well, that's a good thing to be. It's just, yes. you know, we all know that Germany, Austria, Italy, not so much, mm-hmm. but, you know, they offer a singer the ability to be in one place for an extended period of time and sing multiple roles at an opera house, which really mm-hmm. for the young singer is such a boon. It's a great way to
yes.
go. So that's just not something that you're actively thinking of. You're just going to take it as it goes.
Absolutely. That's where I'm at right now.
Very mm-hmm. good. And so schools, where did you go to school?
So I did a pre-collegiate program before going to college at the Manhattan School of Music in New York City. I then went to complete my bachelor's at New York University at Steinhardt. Mm. And then I completed my master's degree at the University of Texas at Austin.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. All right. And so I ask this to all my singers when they're on the show. We talk a little bit about where they are and their short-term goals, you know, what they have coming up. What is a long-term? What does the gold ring mean for Juliet Morris?
So I just want to be performing consistently and creating work that's meaningful to me and to the audiences I perform for. I find in the last couple of years, like, I love singing Lyrikulatura rep, but I also very much thrive in new work. I performed a lot of new works and modern English operas in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I find performing work that is being written by composers now in 2024 onward is really exciting to see, because you kind of get to perform something for the very first time for an audience that has no idea what to expect.
Right.
So long term, I think it would be really fun to develop new roles mm-hmm. and continue to sing for as long as it possibly can.
Right. So I like your attitude. It's very, you know, just keep yourself in the game and whatever comes, yep. comes. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. What about other, you know, other aspects of performing? I know a lot of singers like Alexander Technique, or they might have dance skills, or, you know, mm-hmm. what skills do you have? What special skills?
So I'm a fabulous actress because I have sung so much crossover musical theater, jazz, folk music in my repertoire. I have a knack for being an actor first and then approaching the singing second. I find that my characters come to life on stage with a little more sparkle that way, but that's just me.
Okay.
I have a multitude of years of dance training in ballet and jazz and tap.
Great.
I consider myself a very versatile performer because I have a lot of hats and I do a lot of different things really, really exceptionally.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think so.
Yeah.
I try to hold myself to a really high standard. I work very hard to do so. So,
singing is the real deal for sure. I mean, singing is not for the faint of heart.
No, and especially auditioning and putting yourself out there in a multitude of ways, you've really got to develop a thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that my skin is thicker than most.
Yes, it's true.
Because there's also a million and one sopranos, so you've got to really like understand what you are doing.
Right, absolutely, a million and one. I love that. So, do you think that the COVID experience impact you at all? Did you? I find it that singers really, by and large, have been very flexible and took it as a challenge to, you know, to keep growing. How did you handle that?
Through COVID, I actually was coaching virtually with Catherine Lewick, who is the reigning queen of the night all throughout the world. And so I decided that instead of kind of just sitting there, that I would continue my education online. And I worked really hard to make sure that I basically kept my voice in check and my muscles
mm-hmm.
strong.
Mm-hmm.
But COVID was hard, especially for sopranos, because there was basically a 2-year gap afterwards where everybody was playing catch up.
Absolutely.
And now at this point in time, I feel like we're starting to chill out a little bit.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes.
like I've said a million times during this interview, it's a hustle and you just got to keep, you got to keep going.
Yeah, you got to keep going for sure. And, you know, I think that the perspective, most of the singers that we've spoken with in this last couple of weeks have come to the same conclusion that we're starting to now get to the point where we can actually go again, you know, that we can actually
yeah.
actively take what we have and bring it to the world, which is good to hear. It's good for opera
mm-hmm.
and it's good for these singers. So what do you think about the future of opera? Where do you see it going?
That all depends on what people who are in positions of power right now are willing to do and how flexible they are for change. I think companies like Philadelphia Opera and the Chicago Lyric are trying to create seasons that have modern work, musical theater, things that are for a more flexible audience. And I think that if we keep putting people in positions who are flexible and creative and are female, that we will see a lot of change in the opera industry. And that's what I hope for, is that we, you know, opera is this beautiful art form. It's very traditional, but we can keep it traditional with a little spice and sparkle.
Mm-hmm.
And we need people who are passionate about moving the industry forward than keeping it where it is right now for the industry to prosper.
Right, right. It definitely
yeah.
has to grow for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has become pretty much a niche kind of art form. And certainly COVID didn't help us, you know, keep opera out there. So we're still catching
yeah.
up, I think. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Onward and upward seems to be the speak of the day. So that's a good thing. Awesome.
Yep.
All right. So anything else you'd like to share with our audience today? Which aria are you singing? What are you singing for the competition?
For the competition, I'm singing a modern aria called My Darling Gym from Glory Denied by Tom Ciccullo.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful and really touching. And I want to share that people should really come and see us sing. There are a lot of really fabulous, fantastic artists who are performing on that Sunday. Some of who are actually close colleagues of mine. So it would be really exciting to have those kind of reunions. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Okay. And you're from New York.
I am.
You're coming down that day, I assume, right?
I am. I'm going to make a little trip up to New Hampshire a couple days before, explore the state, and then make my way over. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for you. And so you'll be singing a musical theater, quasi, you know, an English contemporary opera piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Awesome. And we'll look forward to seeing that, especially since we know that your acting skills are so great. That's awesome. Good for you.
Thank you.
All righty. So, you know what? We'll say thank you, Juliet, so much for being with us today. And you know what? I think that you're on the right track, and I think that you've got great things ahead of you. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. And for all of our audience members out there, we want to make sure that you remember that New Hampshire Opera Idol 2024, this is probably our 25th or year of offering the competition for these emerging opera singers, and we want to have a great house for them. So April 28th is the date, and it starts at 3:00 in the afternoon, and you can have a cocktail and you can enjoy beautiful singing, and if you desire, you can also vote in the competition. So come on out to the Capital Center for the Arts this Sunday, coming right up, right? And come and enjoy this event with us. Juliet, thanks again. Our listeners, thank you for joining Artful Living. We're going to say goodbye here. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. See you next time.